Paul and Vinny for that wonderful presentation. We do are blessed with talent in this church, and both Paul and Vinny not only are talented, but they love the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what encourages me, that when we stand up, we don't only give a presentation, but we give what is coming forth from our heart, the truth of Christ Almighty. Hallelujah. Everybody happy today? Everybody like me today? Wait till I'm done. All right. You know, I hate to start out insulting people, but what if I was to come up here and ask you if you had a deficiency? Has anybody ever had like a vitamin deficiency? Anybody take vitamins? Oh, right. Okay. So, you know, you can have a vitamin deficiency. And if you don't take a certain amount of vitamin D, you can get rickets. And rickets make your legs bowed and whatever happens if you don't, especially in a child, if they're not given that. You can get beriberi, another thing that causes some great discomfort from not having enough vitamin B. You can get a thing called pellagra from not having enough niacin and causing vomiting and nauseousness. And all these things, if let go, can be life-threatening. And one specific one that always had intrigued me was scurvy. Isn't that an awful name, scurvy? Oh, you guys, anybody have scurvy out there? And get out. No. Scurvy was seen a lot in British sailors in whenever they were sailing. But in the 1700s, many of them were suffering from scurvy when they took long tours on the ships in Britain. And it would also be with slow healing, with bleeding, with lethargy, with all kinds of side effects, and then could end in death. So people were literally dying on British naval vessels. And in 1753, a Scottish doctor, discovered that if they were given limes and lemons, that it would help alleviate that. And that limes and lemons are a primary source of vitamin C. And so they were cured. They started giving limes to the British sailors, and they were cured of this scurvy. And so every time that they went out, they would take a supply of limes. If you've ever heard a British sailor or a sailor called a limey, that is where the expression comes from. They're called limeys because they ate limes to overcome that. Now, I believe that many Christians are suffering from a deficiency. And it may not be a deficiency of vitamins, but it's a deficiency of the Spirit of the living God. And I think there are some sitting in this congregation that are suffering from this deficiency. And that is my thought today, not to insult us, but to make us aware of something that a person might not have been aware of, even as much as they were not aware of the fact that they were deficient of certain vitamins. There may be things in your spiritual life that you are not aware of. Some people have this born again. It's like having a car with very little gas or a body with very little air to breathe. It can affect you. And so I believe that many of us here are affected by a lack of the filling of the Spirit of the living God. So I'm asking you a question this day. Are you filled with the Spirit of God? Are you filled with the Spirit? How many of you are going to shout, oh, yes, I am. But I want to define our terms first as we're thinking about that. Are you filled with the Spirit? So if I'm asking you, are you filled with the Spirit? And you say, well, according to Paul, that I am filled with the Spirit, for the Bible says, and I like this New Living Translation of Titus 3:5. He saved us not because of the righteous things which we have done, but by his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. So if I ask you, are you filled with the Spirit, according to that criteria, you could say, yes, I am filled with the Spirit, because Paul said, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. That means he doesn't belong to Christ if he doesn't have the Spirit of God. The Bible says, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. So according to that, a person is born again by the Spirit of God. How many are born again by the Spirit of God out there? And so you are. And I often think about this, and I wanted to be able to make my understanding of this known to you, that in John chapter 20, especially verse 22, I always look to that to be the place where the disciples were truly born again by the Spirit, in the sense that when the Spirit comes into us, there's a big 50-cent word we call regeneration, that we are regenerated, born again. We have truly received the truth of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, for me, people that just say, oh yeah, I believe that, oh yeah, I believe Jesus is this and that, that it's almost a mental assent, as we say, but it's not really a spiritual transformation. They have not received the Spirit of God just by saying a group of words. You have to receive Jesus Christ into your heart, as many as received him. And in doing that, it is receiving it by the power of the Holy Spirit coming in and upon you. Just reading in John 20. See, and I've read this before, I'm reiterating this, but after Christ has risen from the dead, he stays with the disciples for 40 days, seen by them on many occasions. But in John 20, he comes into one of the rooms where they are, and he speaks to them. He said, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And I believe at that moment was the time when they received the Holy Spirit and they were regenerated, born again by the Spirit of God coming into them. And then he sets up and establishes the church. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Not meaning that on a whim they could forgive sins, but according to the criteria of confession of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, a person's sins are forgiven. We believe that our sins are forgiven because Christ has taken them to the cross of Calvary. And when we receive Christ, that is applicable in our lives. And so, again, I ask you, how many are born again and have received the Spirit of God in that sense? So most of us say so. But then Jesus said something very interesting to them in Luke 24, 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And so he was saying, even after he breathed on them and they were born again, they were to tarry in Jerusalem to receive the power from on high, which is obviously the power of the Holy Spirit in Acts 1:9. And in Acts 1:8, we see the scripture, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So isn't it interesting that he hath breathed on them and tell them to receive the Holy Spirit? You would think that was it. But he told them to be waiting in Jerusalem till they be endued with power from on high. However you want to look at this theologically, or whatever you want to name this, it appears from the Word of God that there was something that they could receive of the power of the Holy Spirit that would be even more than what they had received when he breathed on them. Not more of the Holy Spirit, more of an anointing, it would appear, from this. And so we as Pentecostals believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is seen in Acts 2 is when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And many out here could attest to that fact, that they have received the Holy Spirit in that manner, and would say that even as a first time encounter with the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in tongues and praising God. But I have something even after this, and obviously many of you have heard me speak about this. that there is a filling with the Holy Spirit that is a continuous or an ongoing or an occasion on events where they receive the Spirit. Now, I'm looking at the disciples. The disciples, having been breathed in the Holy Spirit on that day when Christ went into the upper room, into that room rather, and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Then on the day of Pentecost, when they received the baptism of power from on high. But then I read in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it said, "And the place was shaken in which they were dwelling." This is after they had testified before the Jews about the truth of Jesus Christ. They came back to where they were all staying, and they said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak out the word boldly. And so we see that it not only happened in John 20, 22, when they received the Holy Spirit. It not only happened in Acts 2, where they were filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, but it happened in Acts 4, where it says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Now the disciples were born again, had the initial experience of the filling of the Spirit, and then had different times when they were filled with the Spirit of God. So on what do I base this, the assumptions of this filling with the Spirit? Because my question to you wasn't so much, are you born again? Or even so much that you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But my main question is, are you filled with the Holy Spirit right now? Don't answer me. Just think about this. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And I will give you my criteria, my thoughts of what the Word says as to whether you are filled with the Holy Spirit or not, right now, right on this occasion. In Acts chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And then I read to you Acts 1, 8, "And you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And then in Acts 2, 17, when Peter is preaching, and it said, "It shall come to pass in the last days," God says, "I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." And in 18, it said, "I will pour out in those days of my Spirit." And in verse 33, he says, "I will pour out the promise of the Holy Ghost." Just for understanding, when the Bible says the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, that's one and the same. It's not like Casper, the friendly ghost. This is the third person of the Trinity that we're speaking about, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. So there is a promise given. How many believe that there is a promise given that the Holy Spirit will come? The promise has been given. And the promise has been given not only that you would have an initial encounter with the Holy Spirit, but that you would have on various occasions an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and you would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, keep that one as the promise and prophecy. Then there is the fact of the giving and receiving of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures today. Please, please don't shut me out. I know you need this as much as I need this. Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Bang, your sins are forgiven. "And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." All right. In Samaria, in the book of Acts 8:15, "Who when they were come down," this is the apostles, "they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost." These people in Samaria had already asked Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. They were baptized in water. But the disciples came down, laid hands upon them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And then we see Paul in Acts 9:17. Ananias is sent to minister to Paul. And he went out and entered into the house, and putting his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." Now, I take it that Paul was already believing in Jesus Christ as Lord, but Ananias came in and laid hands upon him. And then we go to a place, if you remember in Acts 10, Cornelius's house, after there'd been a vision by Peter as he should go and not call any man common, that the disciples, actually Peter and six other fellows, went in to Cornelius's house, which was a Roman soldier, and he began to preach to all the people that were in their house because Cornelius had gathered a group together. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, or that was of the Jewish party, which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he said, can any man deny water, meaning baptism, from those which have received the Holy Ghost even as we did? And so he's affirming the fact that they believed and they received the Holy Ghost. And then in Acts 19, we see where Paul is ministering to a group of Ephesians disciples, disciples of John. Then he baptized them in the name of Jesus. And when they came out of the water, something very unique happens. And he said to them, this is before they baptized. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard that there was any Holy Ghost. And so Paul explained to them about Jesus Christ and asked what they were baptized into. Then he baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ. I would assume the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when Paul had, after they came out of the water, Paul lays his hands on them and the Holy Ghost came upon them and they spake with tongues and prophesied, the Bible said. They were anointed with a power from on high. See, the Holy Spirit, we cannot be saved unless the Holy Spirit ignites within us that flame to receive Christ. And I call it prevenial grace. Wesley calls it prevenial grace. A grace that is given in us enough to believe in Jesus Christ. But once you receive Jesus Christ, there needs to be a filling, an overflowing of the Spirit of God within you. And I want you to understand that this is not some Pentecostal doctrine only that I'm talking about the filling of the Spirit. Everybody needs a filling of the Spirit of God. I saw a good illustration, and I've used it here. When you fill up a cup of water, it's filled to the brim, even to overflowing, that cup would be filled. And then I saw a person say, okay, this cup is filled, now dip it in the ocean. Now it is engulfed. And that is what I want. Who wants to be engulfed by the Holy Spirit? That's what I want. I want a deeper move of the filling of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I know that there are people that are hungry in this congregation to have a deeper move of Christ in their life. And so now the next word I'm thinking about is filled. We've talked about the receiving and the promise, and now those being filled with the Holy Ghost. Again, Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. This is on different occasion. Now look at Acts 4:31, which I already read to you. They had just come back from being chastened, and I forget if they were beaten at this time, but they were told not to preach in the name of Jesus Christ. But they went back to the house, and it said at that time, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And this is because they were filled with the Holy Ghost. But we could say, I thought the disciples already were filled with the Holy Ghost. No, they were. But this is a fresh filling, which we all need of that. That is why I say I believe most of Christendom has a deficiency. Because you're not seeking the Holy Ghost. Didn't Christ say it's good for you that I'm leaving here? Because if I don't leave, the Holy Ghost won't come. Well, the Holy Ghost has come. And we're putting him aside. Not only are some people filled, but some people seem to be filled all the time. And I look at a couple of illustrations in the Bible where they were picking out elders for the church and servants. And he said, choose amongst you seven men that are filled with the Holy Ghost and faith. And if you remember, Stephen was one of those that was chosen to be one of the servants or elders. And that said, when they looked on Stephen, when he was testifying in front of the Jews, they saw that he had a face like the face of an angel. And Stephen was filled with the Holy Ghost and said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. He had a vision of this. And you know what they did then? They stoned him to death. I am telling you, a person that is filled with the Holy Spirit is not afraid to stand up and witness for Christ in the midst of adversity or in the midst of death. That's a man that was continuously, it seemed, filled with the Holy Ghost, or it's something that he coveted to be part of his experience. And so in Acts 6 and 7, we see where Stephen was filled with the Holy Ghost, and the other men of that time that were also servants and waiting on tables, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the result of this kind of filling that I'm talking about? The results of this kind of filling, and there's a few places that are just, I want to give instances. In Acts 6:10, it said, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by with which Stephen spake. When a person is filled with the Holy Ghost, he will have wisdom that the world will not be able to gainsay nor resist, because he's filled with the Spirit of God. And Acts 8:29, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. If you remember this, when Philip ministered to the Ethiopian eunuch, the Spirit said to him, when you are filled with the Spirit, you're going to have spiritual guidance. The Holy Ghost will speak to you, just like he spoke to Vice President Pence. It's going to speak to your heart. In Acts 10:19, while Peter thought on the vision of the Spirit will give you visions and dreams and revelations of God Almighty. Hallelujah. Acts 11:28, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, signified by the Spirit. The Spirit told this prophet Agabus what was going to happen. The Spirit will speak truths to you, and at times may even give you a word of prophecy for the future. Acts 16:7, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. If you are filled with the Spirit of God, he at times will say, don't go there. But this is the way, walk ye in it. The Holy Spirit will do that according to the word of God. Acts 16:18. And this did she many days. This is a girl that had the spirit of divinity, if you remember that, divination rather. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. You will tell demons to flee in the name of Christ when you are filled with the Holy Ghost. You will have power over all the works of darkness when you are filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the promise of God. Two more, Acts 13:2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate Paul and Barnabas for the work whereunto I have called them. When you are in a corporate meeting and the Holy Ghost begins to move in those that are filled with the Spirit, words of wisdom, knowledge, revelation will come forth because you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 16:6, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, where they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And so the Holy Ghost continued to guide and direct these Spirit-filled men. Unfortunately, the word Spirit-filled has been claimed so many times by those that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and now have laid the whole experience aside and said, oh yeah, 20 years ago I had that experience. And so they live in a past experience without a present revelation. And that was happened to the church of God so many times. We need to be moving in the Spirit right now. We need the Holy Ghost right now, today. I'm not waiting for the Holy Ghost to come. I'm here. Fill me now. Fill me now. When you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're weak in your wits. Review yourself. You stand up and speak about the Lord every place you go, that it's pouring out from you. A spirit-filled person can't keep their mouth shut about Jesus Christ. When you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're weak as a warrior. When spiritual warfare comes, you cringe. You say, oh, what's Satan doing to me? Because you're a weak warrior. You've been called to be more than conquerors by the power of the Holy Ghost. And you wince and hold back when you should be running to the battle with all your heart. When you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're weak in your walk. You have a weak walk. Sin comes up and you welcome it. Sin knocks on your door and you say, come on in. Oh, I don't have the power to resist sin. But didn't the Bible say that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he will transform you by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Is it the will of God for you to sin? No, but it is only by the power of the Holy Ghost that you can be more than conqueror, that you can be an overcomer. That is what God wants for you. When you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you are a weak worshiper. Oh, you may sing loud. You may know the tune. You may play the song. But is the Spirit of God rising up within you with something that bursts out of you of praise and adoration to God? What happened in the triumphal entry when Christ entered Jerusalem and the multitude was gathered there? Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna. All these people are lifting up their hearts. What happened when the crucifixion came? Nobody was to be found because they had not had an experience of the Holy Ghost in their lives. Therefore, their worship and their praise was only vain words. They were looking for something else other than what Christ was bringing, eternal life. They wanted to be more than the Roman government. Are you a weak worshiper? You come in on a Sunday and, oh, hallelujah, praise God. And you walk out and the Spirit of God is left behind in the church. Many say they desire to hear the word of God. Oh, I've come to hear the word. They preach the word in that church. But I will tell you, it does you no good whatsoever if you hear the word and the unction of the Holy Spirit is not moving in you. Yes, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Yes, he will convict you. But I'm talking about a person who wants to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You cannot be unfilled or you cannot be empty and expect the word of God to take the proper grip upon you and move you from glory to glory. It is only as you are filled with the Spirit of God that you will comprehend and receive the truth of the word of God. That's the only way it's going to happen for you. You've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. I see a person that said, oh yeah, I want to be drunk in the Spirit. I don't want you drunk in the Spirit if you're comparing it to alcohol. People lose their mind when they're drinking alcohol. They stagger and they fall. They sit on the edge of the mast and say, give me another drink. But a person that is filled with the Holy Ghost has a clarity of mind. They know that they are rejoicing before God. It may overwhelm them. The glory of God may overwhelm them, but they do not lose control. They are in total control. For the spirit of prophets are subject to the prophet. They are in control to praise God, even if they jump up and roar and scream and holler. They are in control because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman and moving through them. Being filled with the Spirit is not being filled just with the excitement of the day. it's being filled with a third person of the Trinity. We're talking about God filling you. You're filled with a third person of the Trinity filling you and rising up within you and just drawing you close to the throne of grace with all the fruit of the Spirit and the power that is being manifest by God Almighty. We count the Holy Spirit too little, and that filling of the Holy Spirit, something can be taken or not taken. Yes, you have the choice, but you should choose to receive all that the Holy Spirit has for you. Now I ask you, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm going to give you the acid test. And I think most everybody here is going to flunk. The acid test of being filled with the Holy Spirit is that are you living in and producing the fruit of the Spirit in your life day to day? Who out there loves on a consistent basis? Who's filled so much with the Spirit of God that all they want to do is love the Lord and love others as He commanded? Who out there has peace in their heart that no one could diminish or take away? Who out there has joy unspeakable and full of glory and the half has not yet been told? Who out here amongst us is long-suffering, no matter how difficult it gets, we remain faithful knowing that God, by His Spirit, is bringing us through? Who out here has the gentleness of the Holy Spirit to be gentle in our affairs and in our life? And who has the goodness that only the Spirit of God can bring? And who has that kind of faith and that meekness and that temperance? If you are wanting in the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, then you are not filled with the Spirit of God. Don't be insulted. I've just told you have a vitamin deficiency. You have a deficiency. And the opportunity and the answer is to take the vitamins. Receive the Holy Spirit. Because if He is not manifest in your life by the fruit of this Spirit, it doesn't matter what kind of miracles you work or proclaim, you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit is manifest by the fruit of the Spirit abundantly produced in your life. The fulfilling or the filling of the Holy Spirit is a renewable resource, constantly giving you the opportunity to come to Him. This again is why in Ephesians it said, be filled. It's a choice. You can choose to either go out and drink and get high that way, or you can come out and drink of the Spirit of the living God and get high on Christ. I want to be high on Christ. I want to be filled with His Spirit. The book of Acts is just an account of men and women that were filled with the Spirit of God, and you can see the beauty of what they've done. The problem with the church today is that we have laid aside the power of the Holy Spirit. We proclaim the word, and we have a form of godliness, but not the power therewith. All right, now, I've gotten this far without getting stoned. And I showed you some of the negatives, but what are some of the positives, the benefits of being filled with the Holy Spirit? When a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, and I mentioned worship already, their worship is going to be so beautiful and sweet and joyous that they may shout with ecstasy or drop their head with the awe of who they are worshiping. Your worship will take on a different form when you are filled with the Spirit of God. There is a constant attitude of thanksgiving when you are filled with the Spirit. Another negative for you. Do you know a person that claims to be a Christian and lives a defeated life, walks around angry, depressed, and complains about most everything? That person is not filled with the Holy Ghost. You're not filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you the truth here. If you want to argue with me, argue with the Word of God. And if you will look at the word, and if you are hungry in this church for a deeper walk in Christ, you need a deeper walk in the Holy Spirit. That's the truth. And so your heart will be ecstatic with thanksgiving. Why, when something happens to you, you're going to say, God is going to work this out. God is on my side. He's prepared good things for me. I'm more than conqueror. You have a heart of thanksgiving. You'll be a greater witness of the salvation of Jesus Christ in your life, and you'll proclaim that to whomever you see, because you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is the Spirit that brings forth prophecy and a desire to witness to the uttermost parts of the world. If you are filled with the Spirit, you'll have greater victory in every spiritual attack and encounter. You will put Satan to flight because of the power of the Holy Ghost within you. Cannot be gainsaid nor resisted. For the wisdom by with which you speak is the power and wisdom of the Holy Ghost. You will understand what the will of God is in decision making. You will be directed by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you are filled, there will be greater holiness in your life. You will find sin to be repugnant, and you will turn to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. You'll have more answers to prayer because you'll be praying in the Spirit. You'll be seeking God for His will and His direction. You'll have a fruitful ministry. You'll be those that are ministers of the living God. And the spiritual fruit will pour out from you in abundance over and over again. Now again, that question, are you filled with the Holy Spirit right now? Are you filled with a fresh anointing from God on high? The thing that I saw in the disciples, that they were united in their desire, in fellowship, in prayer, in anticipation, in obedience. And this was a corporate event in Acts 2. And many other places when they were filled, they were corporately filled because everyone had a desire to see the other one blessed, to be filled with the Holy Ghost and power, to be more, to be an overcomer, more than conqueror in all that they did. Praise and worship and prayer transformed people coming to the altar and worshiping God. And I'm going to ask you that when we come to the end, that if you're hungry for the things of God, we'll just come down here and we'll say, this is the day I'm making a stand for God. I'm making a stand to turn from the world and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Who wants the Holy Spirit out there? Wow, thank you, God, for that. There's nothing else to preach. There's nothing else to present other than the power of the Holy Ghost moving in your life, or else you're just coming here to fill a seat. God wants you to fill a heart for the Holy Spirit. That's what He wants for you. He wants the best, and He's given His best in the person of Christ, and the Holy Spirit wants to come and give you the best that you could ever ask for in His presence in you. There's no formula for this. It's a heart that is desirous and hungry for the things of God. Believe in the promises of God about the Holy Spirit. Have expectation in your heart that God will do what He has promised to do. Receive the Holy Spirit with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for filling me. Many people come up again and again. Oh, fill me, God. And they walk, oh, He didn't fill me. Then you don't believe the promise. Come up and say, fill me, God. I receive all that you have from me. And then go back filled with the power of God out to face the day, because you are filled with Jesus Christ, filled with the Spirit of God. Come to this altar today. Come to receive a filling of the Holy Spirit. An anointing. Come with hunger in your heart. Come as those that are in need. Come if there is a deficiency in your spiritual life. Come if you want to stand with others that are hungry. Come if you've been blessed with the fullness of the Spirit in your life, that you might pray others through to that fullness of the Spirit in their lives. Come to the altar and receive all that God has for you. Sometimes when a person stands up in front of a group and says, do this or do that, there are some people that have an attitude, who's this guy to tell me what to do? Please, cut me a break today. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you what the God is offering you, what he's prepared for you. I read a little illustration about in Texas in the early years of 1900s. A guy named Yates, at the place called Yates Pool. And during the Depression, and I guess it was in the, whenever the Depression was, 30s and 40s, he had a field out there. It was a sheep ranch. And this man, Yates, owned this sheep ranch, a vast spread. But during the Depression, he was destitute. He had nothing. He had no money. He could hardly keep his family together like many others. And he was on government assistance, whatever they could give out. And day after day, he grazed his sheep there and in Texas and just got poorer and poorer and more nervous. And one day, some people came and said that they wanted to test underneath his ground for, possible minerals that might be there. And so at 1,500 feet, they struck oil. 80,000 barrels a day. Instantaneously rich. Standing on it for years, never known. Then they began to put other wells around there. And after 30 years of constant production, many of the wells were still producing over 120,000 barrels a day of oil. Mr. Yates was rich. I am telling you, the analogy in this to me is that many people have been born again, have spoken in tongues, have had all kinds of experiences that they want to talk about and know the Word of God, but they are standing in a gold mine. They are standing on the Holy Spirit and never allowing the Holy Spirit to come up and fill them with the abundance of life. Is that you today? This is nothing to be embarrassed about. This is to say, here is an opportunity for me to come and receive a fresh touch from God. Now, coming up here isn't going to be that I am some great spiritual guy, and when I come near you, you're going to get zapped, and the power of the Holy Ghost is going to come. I'm telling you, this is the first step to say, Lord, I am serious. I want the Holy Ghost in my life. I've heard the word of God. I'm going to receive all that you have for me. And you come up and you stand here and you say, Lord God, I am open to receive the Spirit of God and all that you want to give. You think God will not give you the Spirit of God? If any man ask for bread, do you think his father would give him a rock or stone? If any man asks for an egg, do you think his father would give him a scorpion? How much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Come to the altar. Let's stand and pray together for the Spirit of God to move in us in a new and mighty way. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come, Lord God. Move in our midst, Lord God. Touch us and fill us, Lord God. We are hungry this day for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, you see the faith of those that have come this day, Lord God. We are here ready and willing to receive all that you have for us, Lord God. You said, Lord God, that if we ask anything in your name, you would do it. We ask for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives this day. We pray, Lord God, that you would touch each and every individual that is standing here, Lord God, or those that maybe couldn't get forward, that are desirous to be filled with your Holy Spirit. God, desire to praise you with all their heart, to be anointed with you, that you would touch them this day. And so I'm going to ask you to say, dear Lord, I ask that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. I don't want it to be something I'm dictating to you. I want you to say that as you feel to say that. So these would be the words you'd say, something like this. Dear Lord, I ask that you fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. So why don't we all say that in your own way? Say it out loud to God. Lord, I ask that you fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. Now receive him. Say, Lord God, I thank you for filling me with your Spirit. According to your promise, Lord God, that I have asked you to fill me with your Spirit, and you will not give me a serpent. You will not give me a stone, but you will give me the Holy Spirit in my life. Oh God, fill me, that I might praise you, Lord God, with all my heart, that I might serve you, Lord God, that I might live a holy life, that I might overcome Satan, that I might be filled with all the goodness and the love of God Almighty. Fill me this day. Hallelujah. Fill me this day, Lord God. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, fill, Lord God, with the Holy Ghost and power. Fill us, Lord God, with the Holy Ghost and power. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, Ramakachia Baradarabaku. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Fill us, Lord God. Fill us with you, Lord God. We worship you. We worship you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you are mighty and powerful, Lord God. You are glorious and holy and true.